Gonna illustrate something here because I often find people are pretty sure they understand what the Christian faith is all about, and they'll say things like, "Well, you know, it's nice that you know you go to a church and everything, but you know I'm already a good person. I don't need to go to church to be a good person." I had somebody tell me this once. She was a nurse, and she said, "Yeah, I'm a nurse. I help people. It's what I do. So you know, I don't need to be part of a church. I don't really need to worry about reading the Bible or knowing anything about Jesus because I'm a good person." And or other people will say, you know, there's a lot of ways to be good in this world. You know, everybody has their way of moving through the world in a way that doesn't hurt other people. You know, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you're a nice person and you don't hurt anyone. That's what matters. And you know, that Christian thing, the Bible may work for you, but you know, something else works for me and I'm a good person. And it all centers around being a good person. When people talk about that kind of a religion, they're actually not talking about Christianity. They think they are, and sometimes even Christians talk about Christianity in this way, but they're wrong. Christian faith, you know, that kind of thing, what I just described there, is actually not what Jesus came to teach. It's what he came to get rid of. It goes like this. What people think Christianity is, maybe you do or did, it usually starts like this. It says, number one, you need to obey God's laws. Here's a list of them. It's called the Bible. There's hundreds of laws in there. You need to follow them. You need to clean up your act, because you're far from God right now. And if you want to know him and you want him to love you, you better show him that it's worth it. So number one, you need to fix up your life. Obey all God's laws perfectly. And if you can manage to do that, if you can manage to obey all God's laws perfectly, then you know what? He'll accept you. He'll love you. Because you've done what you were supposed to do, and you earned it. You earned God's love. Because God loves and accepts you, well, he wants to be part of your life and give you some loving care. And sometimes people are going to tell you, you know, if you obey these laws, if you do these things, then there's no way God won't give you good health, won't make you the happiest person ever. He won't make sure you have lots and lots of money. There are people who will talk like that. They'll say, but the key here is you have to obey God's laws first. You've got to do everything he says. And he really says you should give lots of money to my ministry. And if you do that, God will like you and he'll make you rich too. Worked for me, right? That's the kind of message you'll hear. And then, you know, after God's done giving you good things, he gives you a new status because you served him well. You're a servant of God. Oh, that's not number three. That's number four. What am I thinking? Number four, servant of God. You've served him well, and so you get a new status. You advance on to a new level. And the way you might hear this is, you know, if you are a good person, if you become a good Christian, you go to church every day, you pray all day, you give lots of money, you do all these things. If you can be the perfect Christian, God will love and accept you. He'll give you good things in this world, and then when you die, you get to go to heaven. Unfortunately, this is a religion of law because it starts with law. And the problem with a law religion is that nobody has ever made it from number one to number two, much less three and four. No one has ever obeyed all of God's laws perfectly. Well, there was this one guy, Jesus, but he had this God thing going for him. Nobody's ever managed to do it. The Old Testament part of the Bible is basically a list of people failing at that. If you read something in the Old Testament and you say, "This is terrible. Why is this awful story in the Bible?" It's probably an illustration of what life is like separated from God and trying to fix it ourselves. Trying to make ourselves acceptable to God. Doesn't work. And it's really hopeless because you'll never make it. Thank goodness that this wasn't what Jesus was all about. It's what Jesus came to get rid of. In the Gospel of John you've been reading, you're going to see he keeps clashing with the Pharisees. Pharisees were all about law. It's their favorite thing in the world. They were like religious lawyers. And they talked about something very much like this. Here are the laws. Here's what you can do on Saturday, and here's what you can't do on Saturday. And if you manage to do all that, God will like you, and he'll give you good things. and then good things will happen to you after. That's a law of religion. But what Jesus came to do was to talk about something a little bit different. I'm just going to go back to the beginning here of this diagram. What Jesus came to do is very similar. It's got the same steps in it, but in a different order that makes all the difference. What Jesus came to do was to tell us that, number one, God loves and accepts us unconditionally. When that's number one, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing you can do to lose it. God created you and He loves you. We are loved by God. That's just a given. It's number one. God loves and accepts us unconditionally. Number two, that means He wants to be part of our lives. He wants a relationship with us. You can imagine a father who loves his child and his child has run far away from home. His father can still love that child even if that child doesn't know it. The child may want nothing to do with the father's love, but the father still loves them. God loves and accepts us even if we've rejected His loving care and His relationship with us, but He's still offering it all the same because He loves us. He wants to be part of our lives today. He wants us to commit to following Jesus, to know Him once again. He wants us to use Jesus' sinless life and death on the cross for us in order to get back to Him, rather than our own obedience to law. So He wants to be part of our life. He wants to offer us His care, and He does that through things like the Holy Spirit, the church community. He does that through that relationship that comes through the Holy Spirit. That's what He's offering us. He wants to be part of our lives today and to care for us. He's not going to make us rich and happy and healthy. It's not what He promised. Rather, He wants to make us holy. And He wants to help us do that because we can't do it on our own. So He offers us loving care, and it's really up to us whether we want that kind of relationship with God or not, or whether we want to go it on our own. We can go it on our own, it just means we have to start back here. But because God loves and accepts us, we can receive His loving care. And if we do that, if we are open to His loving care, then He starts to transform us into something new. He gives us a new status, and it's not a servant of God because we haven't really, earned anything. We're not getting what we deserve here, we're rather getting grace, what we didn't deserve, because God makes us His children. Once again, right? It's what we are made to be. And He offers us that status once again as a child of God. And children are different from servants, right? Servants earn their place in a household. They're there for as long as they're employed and useful. But a child is there simply by right. And, I saw this played out beautifully when the earthquake happened in Haiti. And a lot of families adopted children from Haiti at that time. And it was amazing to read some of the stories of these children being adopted into these families who, if they were lucky, had met those children once in their lives. But then when this disaster happened, they took these kids in and they said, "This is now your home. We're going to adopt you into our family. We're going to treat you as our own children." They got an incredible gift. They got, love from these people. And then they received their loving care. Food, shelter, education, all the things that come along with being a member of a family, they got, not because they deserved it in any way. These are kids, come on. Some of them are so young, they haven't done anything to deserve this family's love yet. They met them once. What can they be, cute? Is that, that's all it takes? No, they didn't deserve it. They received it by grace. They were simply invited to be members of the family with all the rights that come with it, of being in the inheritance, of receiving their love and care, all those things just came because they were adopted. Same way we've been adopted into God's family, not because we've earned it, not because we're good enough, smart enough, religious enough, but simply because God is good enough. He wants us to be part of His family again. And then number four comes obeying God's laws. It's not gone. It's still there, and it's very important. Because when we are God's children living in His household, it makes sense to play by the house rules. They're there to protect us and to help us. And they're not rules we have to live by in order to earn our place, but rather to thank God for our place in His family, in His household. Obeying God's laws is a way to thank Him for the amazing gift of grace He's given us. And because they're number four, they're not something we have to do just out of the blue, where we suddenly have this list of rules we have to follow under our own strength. Rather, they're something we do, knowing we are loved and accepted by God, with the help of God's Holy Spirit and community gathered around us called the church, and knowing that we are children of God, that He has accepted us and invited us into His family with all that that means, all the rights and privileges. And then we're empowered to actually learn and be transformed by His Holy Spirit to obey God's laws. Well, we're continuing in our topic of grace, my favorite topic ever. I hope the illustration that we use today is helping you to understand the importance of grace and how different it is from what most people think Christianity is about. I've got a question for you to think about today. How do you see our world operating on law? And how would it change if more people knew about grace? How's your life changed, maybe, since you learned about grace? Have a great discussion with some friends. I trust you'll do that. It's really important. Share this diagram with somebody you know, from the train or bus, from work, from the neighborhood, whoever you know in your life that might benefit from hearing about grace. Maybe tell them you just learned about this and draw it for them on a napkin. See what they think. Have a great time. I'll see you tomorrow.